every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Let's get it on!
With the familiar tones of AC/DC, you and I begin another episode of Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason. It is Sunday, September 21st. We come to you coast to coast from the North Pole to the South Pole, from the beaches to the sticks, every single day on WrestlingObserver.com. Also, the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Shout out, Bailey. All of our over-the-air affiliates, AM and FM. Kids, if you don't know what that means, ask your parents. Apps like iHeart, TuneIn, everywhere you can get a signal in this fine world, you can hear my voice. I give thanks for that. Special shout out to those listening on the American Forces Network. We thank you for your service each and every day. I'm going to be with you filling in for Andrew Zarian for the next 2 hours. Yes, it's a special 2 hour show. Why? There was a lot of wrestling happening yesterday. Hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. With WWE WrestlePalooza kicking off the ESPN era domestically, and also AEW All Out happening internationally, but also providing us a works day worth of content. My goodness, what a day. But we survived it, and we're going to talk all about it. I have a lot of thoughts, as you might imagine, having a little bit of time to have things kind of soak in. I haven't listened to a lot of the scuttlebutt, actually zero about it, other than for some people in the building. By some thoughts, including a complaint. A disservice was done, I think, to two performers on the AEW All Out card. I'll discuss that. What I liked from both shows, maybe what I didn't like. Thoughts for the future. Are we finally done with this head-to-head stuff? Can we be done with it? I think the business will be better off because of it. But we have a lot to talk about. Of course, Brock Lesnar returning, AJ Lee returning. We have a new WWE Hall of Famer coming. Was that the big surprise Triple H was talking about? And of course, lots and lots of news coming out from All Out. We're going to talk about all that for the next 2 hours here.
I'm an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Card Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Are you over the age of 50? Want peace of mind and financial security for your family? Here's an important message to you from Senior Care USA. The average funeral now costs over $10,000. That leaves your loved ones the burden of paying your debts and funeral costs. Our plans start as low as $1 per day and will pay your family up to $30,000 to help pay for your funeral and other expenses. There are no medical exams, your rates will never increase, and your plan cannot be canceled, regardless of your medical conditions, as long as you make your premium payments. Get up to $30,000 in final expense insurance. Call now for free information. Just answer a few simple questions and get approved right over the phone in just a few minutes. Call right now.
Call 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. 800-399-6879. That's 800-399-6879.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
All right, back with you, Wrestling Observer Live, for a Sunday, September 21st. My name is Josh Nason, filling in for Andrew Zarian this week and next week, and we have a lot to get to. Let's get to it. So, I'm going to go all over the board with All Out and WrestlePalooza. What a hybrid of wrestling yesterday. Started at 2 o'clock, if I'm not counting the pre-show for All Out, but started at 2 o'clock with their tailgate brawl and ended, I believe, like around 10-ish or so. So when WrestlePalooza ended, so if you watch both shows in full, so it was 6 hours for All Out, and it was, 3 hours for, said 9 hours of wrestling, if I can do my basic math right. My daughter would be just shaking her head right now. Here are some of my big takeaways. I'm going to give you my three in this opening segment. The first one, and again, I haven't listened to Wrestling Observer Radio, any other type of review shows, anything like that. I haven't taken it a lot because I like to kind of not have other opinions shape mine. When I laid my head down on my pillow last night, my first thought was, this is a note I took down during the match. I think AEW did a disservice to Hangman Page and Kyle Fletcher last night. If you don't know, of course, the main card started at 3, and they did an hour-long head-to-head with WrestlePalooza that started at 7. The AEW pay-per-view concluding right at 8 o'clock, I think maybe 7:58, if you're super exact. But I was looking, as we're going through the show, I was like, okay, we got about 5 matches left, and there was about 2 hours if you were going to go at the 5 o'clock, or if you assume that they were going to end at 7. And we thought there might be some sort of overrun, but overruns are a little bit different when it comes to when you have to buy pay-per-view time. Where for more linear providers, like stream providers, I don't think they care because it really doesn't matter. But linear providers, you have to have blocks of hours, I guess. And once it became clear that, okay, there's 5 matches left in 2 hours, do we really think all these are going to get done? And as it went, I think right at some point, I think I tweeted, Tony Khan's going to go the whole hour, isn't he? Meaning he's going to go till 8 o'clock. It's not going to be a little overrun. It's going to be a full blown. I'm like, these guys are going to go 60 minutes. And what happened? They went to 8 o'clock. So that crossover hour featured, I believe it was the end of the tag team title 4-way ladder match and the whole reuniting of Jurassic Express. We'll chat about that later. But it had, for the vast majority of it, was Hangman Page against Kyle Fletcher for the AEW World title. And that was done for a reason. Obviously, the world title going on last is your main event. A show like that, which didn't, to me, have a real clear main event, was the right thing to do. But, you know, I think it was sent as a message. We learned we knew that John Cena and Brock Lesnar were going to open up WrestlePalooza. You know, it's going to be some sort of crossover. It seemed like an indication, kind of back when, you know, Vince was doing the whole Attitude Era thing versus WCW with, you know, the making fun of, you know, the Nacho Man and the Huckster. They had the old people, we have the new. And I think that was kind of a clear message. However, coming at that point of the day, we had just sat through, 5 hours of AEW action, for the most part good. But there's still going to be a lag and a fatigue. And what felt more important in that case? We going into it, we knew Kyle Fletcher was not going to win the AEW World title. So that intrigue is taken out. Is it a possibility? Was that one of the reasons Chris Statlander won the AEW Women's title? We'll chat about that later. It could have been, but I think people went in knowing that was not going to be the case. It was meant to get Kyle Fletcher, seeing him, having him seen perceptions being a main event, which I think some people, if you're an AEW fan, you kind of already have, but he's there. You know, he's at that level now, if he hadn't been before. But I think what happened is you have this fatigue of just like, okay, how much time is left in the show? I've been sitting here for all these hours. Against a more interesting thing to me, which was what's happening with this Lesnar return and Cena, what's going on? And I think what I did is I put on the WWE PLE on my laptop while I had AEW on the big screen. And I actually muted the AEW pay-per-view because I kind of wanted to see what was going on in the WWE, assuming it wasn't going to go long, and it really didn't. And so my attention was taken away, and it's kind of, again, the point of a head-to-head battle is what grabs your attention. I'm keeping my eye on the AEW pay-per-view and the Fletcher Hangman match. As I'm going, I'm like, this is just, it's, I've seen so much great wrestling, I'm desensitized to it. Had an hour been taken out of the AEW show and had that aired at 6 o'clock, I think for me, it probably would have been received better. I'm sure there are other fans that probably think the same. Now this, again, I know the sickos hate hearing any criticism of AEW pay-per-views being so long. If you don't like it, don't watch it and whatever. But there is a reality. Everything has a shelf life. Everything has an expiration date. Everything, when it comes to entertainment, there are things that are just, they're too long. When you have the, I'm checking the phone factor, if you're watching a TV show or a movie, if you are just kind of squirming in your seat a little bit and that feeling just like, I just need to get up and walk around. And to me, I think AEW and Tony Khan, by doing that long, hour-long head-to-head, I think did a disservice to his two of his top guys in Hangman Page and Kyle Fletcher, who had a banger of a match, but it felt fatigued because we'd just seen so much stuff already. And I think this is something that WWE, it is, and of course, as I'm watching the Lesnar and Cena match, these two companies are so different. And we all knew this. We all know this, right? Yes, there are athletes in WWE. Yes, there are guys that can certainly go. We've seen that before. But it's just different. And it's been different for decades. And it's always going to be different. It's just a whole different thing. It does not feel like they're both wrestling, but they're both just, again, so much different. That was such a dichotomy there, just from fan reaction. Again, seeing the whole night, they had five matches on WrestlePalooza. And again, all very long, lots of stories focused on intros, crowd reactions, characters, whereas you're just going match after match after match against All Out. That was my big takeaway, is that I think in the interest of showing, this is why we're different. We're going to showcase, we can give you this, they're going to give you this. And we're better, and we're going to show you why head-to-head. However, it's not the availability of both. It's not like a TV head-to-head where people can just flip back and forth between channels. I guess you kind of could with streaming or have it up on two screens, but I'm not sure if it was the strategy going in of that. But we'll talk about more, I'm sure, in the days and weeks ahead. But I thought that was a big thing. I thought overall, I thought WWE was smart to open with Cena and Brock. I think they did their own disservice later on by Cody and Drew going last. Perhaps they knew that fans would be fatigued during the day. I'm interested from their perspective. Did they think that, or what percentage of their fans watching did they think were also going to watch the AEW show? Did they take that into consideration at all? I'm sure they did with putting, you know, Cena Brock first, but I'm also a little bit surprised they didn't put it last. But maybe they thought, again, that thinking people are going to be fatigued if they've watched everything all day. I don't know. Clearly, they have some sort of research or some sort of mindset into why are these shows shorter and what are we looking to accomplish with them. I personally like the shorter shows. They're more snackable, I guess, is a word I hate using, but I've heard it before. More, it allows you to think about stuff more and, again, to not get worn out by it. And you kind of spread things out during the week for your different shows and everything. As I'll talk about in the next segment, there are some things on All Out. You could have cut an hour out of it and still a great pay-per-view. But it's just this thing of just, we're going to go long as possible. And WWE does not do that. It's a big difference between the two. But I thought they did a big disservice to Cody and Drew McIntyre. Because at the end of that, after, again, the CM Punk, AJ Lee tag match, which to me, if you're putting Cena and Lesnar first, I think that should have gone last. I actually just talked about this Hangman Page. I don't contradict myself. I think in that case, there's a case putting the world title on a little bit sooner in the card. I want to get more into this in just a second. We have to go to a break. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live, WrestlePalooza All Out Talk coming up next. 2 hour show. Keep listening.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
This is a true sad story. For ADT, the leader in home security systems, my favorite dog, Oliver, was stolen from our garage recently. If I had a camera system installed in my home from ADT, I would have known exactly what car possibly pulled up in my driveway and stole my little friend. If I had a security system from ADT, my dog would still be here. I called ADT this weekend, and they're coming out in a few days to install a camera and a new security system. Unfortunately, it's a little too late for me. Listen. Protect everyone you love in your family. Call ADT now. Have them come out and give you a quote to install a full security system in your home. Don't let it be too late for you. Call right now.
Paid for by the Home Security Hotline. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. 800-361-3491. That's 800-361-3491.
Hello, Americans. It's Uncle Sam here. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS or state, don't worry. I've got important news that may help you negotiate a lower tax bill. In today's economy, the IRS has released a variety of new rules and is offering more flexible terms to help Americans looking to settle their IRS debt. If you apply today, we may be able to lift your wage garnishments and release a freeze on your bank assets or business. Our team of tax professionals can resolve your case and stop collection actions against you. Even if you've been audited or haven't filed a return in years, they can help. Call right now and find out if you qualify to settle your IRS debt for far less than what you owe. Pick up your phone right now and call us for a free $500 IRS tax review. Don't wait. Here's the number.
Call right now. 800-943-9215. 800-943-9215.
800-943-9215. Again, for the last time, that's 800-943-9215.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live, back for Sunday, September 21st. Let's keep the train rolling with things I thought about WrestlePalooza and All Out. As I was getting to for the break, and I kind of compressed in there, again, it's kind of contradictory. I just say that in AEW, the Hangman Page match should have gone last because it was the main event. On the WWE side, I don't think the Cody McIntyre match should have gone last. But it's a different situation. Again, two different companies, two different approaches. What are the things that people are most excited to see? I would say that the Cena-Lesnar match and the, I think even probably more so, the Punk and AJ Lee versus Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch match. One of the things that I've been surprised about, and is really, it kind of stuck out in me the last 2 weeks since Lee came back, is the generation gap between fans. And again, you kind of feel it, but I really haven't felt it. I'm 47, as I mentioned before. I've watching wrestling since, I believe, 87. So I've kind of like lived it and seen these different generations and so on. But I never really felt a gap until the reaction to AJ Lee. That was kind of at the end when her last match was in 2015 before last night. And that was when I was kind of starting to really check out of WWE. Wrestling just did not interest me at that level at that point. And I was really just kind of checked out of Vince McMahon's WWE at that point. So when her return came and everyone went crazy, I was like, okay, it just didn't do much for me. I did not realize to a separate generation how big of a deal that was. Didn't appreciate it. I'm sure that's the case when older stars come back and younger fans like, who cares? Or I don't get why this is such a big deal. But it felt like a big deal to me. You know, I'm sure there's some people like that with CM Punk. When he came back in AEW, which did happen, that was like a big thing. It just felt like such a big moment. There's been other returns and all that. But with AJ Lee coming back, it didn't really hit. And seeing her last night, it still didn't hit for me. But that's because she's not my generation. But that's cool. And that's what people are there to see. I think that probably should have gone last. You could have put the Cena-Lesnar match last, but I think they wanted to end on a high point, and they wanted to end with your champion. Again, if they're approaching saying, we're going to get a lot of casual fans due to the ESPN audience, I can see them wanting to do Cody because your champion's last. So you don't want people to ask, why isn't your champion going on sooner? However, those same fans, if they are casual enough, are going to get confused why there's two world champions at some point anyway, right? So you might as well just do what's going to be best for them. But that Cena and McIntyre match just felt not lifeless because those guys worked hard. But again, at the end of a long day, it just didn't have that same, we got to see this. We got to know. We got to see what's going to happen here. And that's kind of what I felt with that. So yeah, I thought both companies did a little bit of a disservice, but again, it depends on how much they cared about each other. AEW clearly cared about WWE to the point that they wanted to cross over by an hour. And did WWE care that much about them in terms of, okay, we know you're probably going to do something, so we're going to put on our biggest thing to start with. But they didn't want to go too hard, or else they would have put Punk and AJ Lee's match first. That would have been not the coup de grace, but that would have been the big kind of like, we'll show you what we can do. There's just a little bit of hedging there. And boy, did people online, always online, not seem to like the way that Brock Lesnar-John Cena match went. I had a few searches up on my Twitter account, X account, yesterday. And I can tell you what the phrases were. One of them was, I was curious about the ESPN experience and if people were complaining a lot because of technical issues and all that. I saw some earlier, but I also don't know, not to say they're bots, but I also don't know if they're people just complaining to be complaining or if they're real life people. I don't know. But the three phrases I had up was WrestlePalooza ESPN, ESPN WWE issues, and AEW family friendly, which I'll talk about in a minute. There were definitely some people complaining about the $30 price, and boy, that came out a lot after that Lesnar and Cena match. People just did not like that. I saw some media people didn't like that either. The expectation was, I guess, that Cena was going to win a more competitive match, I guess. But no, Brock is, Cena's out. I mean, Cena's done in 2.5 months, 3.5 months. Brock Lesnar sticking around. And Brock Lesnar apparently is reunited with Paul Heyman. That was a big surprise. That was one of the, you know, Triple H going into this. And you'll notice this. He says about SummerSlam too, expect surprises. And I think this is going to be a tagline of his for a lot, because this is what wrestling is now. Both companies, all companies, indies, it's surprises. The action itself is not good enough. The storylines we have done for months and months and months, or weeks and weeks, are not good enough. There has to be, you're also going to get surprises here too. It is educating a different group of people that's, if it doesn't happen, you've seen a disappointing thing. If you haven't seen moments, it's a disappointing thing. That going out there and seeing competitive action is not just good enough unless there's major stakes, unless there's this or this. It puts a lot of pressure week in and week out. And also, again, starts to educate part of the audience that may be newer and not as hadn't watched wrestling as long, if this is what it is. And when you do that, that puts a lot of pressure on you to constantly be surprising people and teasing this, and then having people ask the question afterward, where was the surprises? So one of my takeaways from last night is, at least on WWE side, there was not a lot of surprises. There was not a lot of big news coming out of last night. What we did have was we had the new Women's World Champion, Stephanie Vaquer. Her era begins. And it seems like just yesterday she was at Forbidden Door competing against Mercedes Moné, and now she finds herself at the top of the world in WWE. Life comes at you fast, doesn't it? We had Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar essentially reuniting. Is he part of the Vision now? I guess we'll kind of see how that goes this week. Obviously, he's had issues with Seth Rollins in the past, but another big takeaway of mine last night, another kind of umbrella statement, the name of the game in wrestling, and it's been that way it's been growing this way for a while, but in terms of American wrestling, large factions and groups are the thing. It's the name of the game. The Death Riders and AEW keep adding. The Don Callis family keeps adding. Paul Heyman's Vision Group keeps adding. Alliances and these giant groups are the name of the game, because it gives that, adding new titles, tournaments and such, it is a way now in today's wrestling world in terms of major TV wrestling, is a way, they're booking crutches in so many ways, because you have these giant rosters. Like, what are we supposed to do with all these people? We don't want to lose them. We don't want to give them away to someone else, but we need something for them to do. We'll put them in a faction. We'll put them in a group. We'll have them compete for a secondary title, maybe a thirdly title. Thirdly? Does that make sense? Anyway, you know what I mean? Tournaments, you know, like there's so many of these things, but large factions and groups, because the underlying thing is we need something for them to do. And that does kind of take away from at least how I grew up on and so on, where you managed the roster that you had and allowed you, it felt a little bit more kind of special when people kind of get moved up or things like that. Now it's just so much different. So much different. So yeah, we'll see if Brock joins this Vision group. And that, I think, could be interesting. WWE really hasn't gone like super faction crazy to the point that AEW has. I assume it's the New Japan influence there, but it could. It very well could. They have Judgment Day. They have some groups, but it looks like Lesnar. We'll see how that plays, I'm sure, this week. Of course, the other big news, other big surprise, this was one. There wasn't a ton of news coming out of the show, as I mentioned. Undertaker surprising Stephanie McMahon with her induction in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, Stephanie was sitting at ringside with, you know, Nick Khan and his kids. And I don't know who she was with, but Undertaker comes out doing the American Badass gimmick and all that, and does this really weird, awkward kind of microphone promo with Stephanie. And she acts like she has no idea what is going on. I don't think that she did. It's possible, but I don't think she did. And he comes out and, you know, makes some jokes and all that stuff. And I put it on our Slack channel. The minute he came out and started talking, they're really featuring a lot on Stephanie, the shots over the shoulder shot. And it was just kind of like, oh, something's going to happen between these two. Undertaker's not involved in any angles or anything like that. Neither is Stephanie. So I said, okay, what's going on here? And I put in our Slack check, like, she's going to the Hall of Fame, isn't she? And lo and behold, 2 minutes later, he told her she was going into the Hall of Fame. So there you go. It's a WWE Hall of Fame, smiles on faces and so on. I mean, sure, why not? She was a major performer during the Ruthless Aggression era, I guess, in the Attitude era as well. I mean, she's been around forever. The wife of Stephanie, wife of Triple H, so clearly there. But she's is she going to be the headliner? I mean, the show is going to be in Vegas. It is. It seems odd to announce it this early. I mean, it's September, late September. And the Hall of Fame, I mean, we're talking about April, long time in advance. I don't know. It's just the timing is kind of weird, but it doesn't surprise me. There was funny memes of Shane McMahon sadly looking on, wondering if when's it going to be his chance. I don't know. We'll see how that goes with Shane O'Mac. But that was really kind of the other big news. I guess some stuff announced afterward. Crown Jewel starting to come into shape in Saudi Arabia. Hear any stories about Saudi Arabia lately? Cody Rhodes taking on Seth Rollins in their champion versus champion match, their Crown Jewel title match. Remember, they do that now every year, so the women will do the same thing. Jey Uso is in concussion protocol following WrestlePalooza. Actually, we'll talk more about that after the break because we have a lot more to talk about, a lot more All Out to talk about in just a few minutes. But yeah, Jey Uso in concussion protocol. And yeah, we'll talk about all the different surprises and why AEW not so family friendly. Wrestling Observer Live, coming right back after this.
You hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, Car Shield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call Car Shield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with Car Shield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later.
800-247-6135. 800-247-6135. That's 800-247-6135.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle
motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the Legal Helpline right now.
800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. That's 800-401-5163.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back with you on Wrestling Observer Live. My name is Josh Nason, filling in for Andrew Zarian this week. Just about, we're going right through hour one of some overall talk about AEW All Out and WrestlePalooza. Hour two, we'll get a little bit more in the weeds with a match-by-match look through. And what I liked and what I didn't like and so on. But we're staying going here with, let's just kind of wrap up with the WWE news and then we'll go a little more into AEW. So, yeah, Jey Uso in concussion protocol in a spot that I don't know if you could recreate if you tried. Jey Uso during the match with the Usos against Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed. Jey Uso used a chair to hit Bron Breakker. And it bounced off his back, and it hit him in the mouth and split him open. And he's in concussion protocol, and so which is a requirement. It says Brian Alvarez says requirement any injury like this. So the chairs were used because LA Knight was a special guest referee and so on. So I don't think I've ever seen that happen before. But Jey Uso managed to pull that off. And yeah, it was running through Crown Jewel, starting to come together. We're going to have the first Crown Jewel match is set for next month in Saudi Arabia. Seth Rollins versus Cody Rhodes, that rivalry renewed. So it's a championship versus champion match for the Crown Jewel Championship, if you follow along with that. But that was kind of all the big news out of WrestlePalooza. Not a lot of, interesting stuff. We had Pat McAfee back. We had a new intro to the show. So apparently that will be kind of the thing going forward. There was a long ESPN WWE promo video. I believe it was almost 5 minutes that Triple H did narrating over that, talking about the partnership. That's kind of the underline here. And I was thinking about last night, this partnership really does not matter to anyone outside the United States. And I'm sure a lot of friends in the UK listening to this, France, England, Japan, Mexico, Canada. Shout out to all of you outside. Luxembourg, my Luxembourg homies. I'm sure you're here listening to all this and like, we do not give a bleep, right, about ESPN or any of this stuff, what you Americans are talking about. Doesn't affect us at all. We got Netflix in most of the world anyway. And that's how I watched the show last night. I used my VPN and I was able to log on. I'm having issues getting it on my TV though. That's the thing. I can watch it on my laptop, but then when I try to stream it or when I try to use my Wi-Fi router and use my VPN on that, it's still not working. If you have any tips, let me know. Josh at WrestlingObserver.com or on X at Josh Nason or Blue Sky at Josh Nason as well. Whatever social media you use, if you have a trick for how I can watch on my TV, I've tried the streaming. I have a Mac. And Netflix apparently does not allow AirPlay. So if you have tricks with that, I'm an Apple guy and a Netflix guy and a VPN guy, let me know, please. I'd love to love some help. I did figure out Triller. Actually, I'll talk more about that in hour two and Triller and my AEW Plus experience, thanks to a listener of this very show. But yeah, we have a new intro. And yeah, as I mentioned, I was kind of keeping track of if there were people complaining. I didn't hear any type of crazy complaint. I haven't read any stories yet. It's very possible I've missed them, but I'll look at them later. But I didn't hear like a huge crush of people not able to get in. However, as has been talked about a lot this past week, WWE did a really weird job in promoting how to get this. They said, get it on ESPN, but they never told you that there might be complications because a lot of providers don't have the sync up between ESPN Plus and their cable service yet. They don't have the authorization. And if you don't have it, you have to pay. And they really didn't want to bring that up. And again, this lack of confidence sometimes really is baffling to me, especially a company so hot that they didn't want to say, yeah, you got to pay, you might have to pay for this. And maybe they couldn't figure out an eloquent way to say this. This is two mega companies coming together, multi-billion dollar companies. And they avoided telling their fans, you might have to pay. You won't have to pay for long, though. This is the things I don't understand. It's like you're trying to avoid something. And that was one of the things that it didn't really hit me until later in the week when I was listening to other shows and they were noticing the same thing and I hadn't really noticed it. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, they don't really want to tell people it could be $30 a month. It's not going to be forever, but it's going to be for now for some people. I think they just wanted people to have figure out on their own. And you'd think they'd want to kind of rip that Band-Aid off early, but what have you. So the ESPN-WB relationship is kicked off. You know, it's interesting in listening to this ESPN media call, you know, that was on this past week and was listening to, again, a lot of the scuttlebutt about this and what have you. ESPN wants subscribers for their service. And WB always has this perfect timing to find the streaming service that needs the subscribers. One thing the WB leadership has said, it's one of their calling cards. Nick Khan has said this. Mark Shapiro is now saying it for TKO, is that they bring their subscribers travel, meaning they were WB Network subscribers and they just move like a pack. They just go here to here to here. They follow along us. They follow along with us no matter where we go. Now, remember, WB Network was a long time ago compared to where we are now. The streaming service where stuff is found everywhere. And you can access stuff is everywhere. But there's this assumption, I think, that they have a million people ready to go and a million people are just going to follow along subscribers and it's going to be instant revenue. They're going to stick around and what have you. They found Peacock at the right time and Peacock paid them a lot of money to bring their stuff over. Now ESPN is doing the same thing with them. It's the smartest thing that these stream providers can do, and I've said this before, find entities that their fans are used to paying to see. Combat sports, combat sports, combat sports. Always, 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 always. It's pay-per-view, and if people are like, I don't have to pay X, or I'm getting paid a lot less, great. I'll still pay you, but it's so much less, so it's better. And now with this, that's a big challenge. And we'll see how things go. On these calls, they didn't want to say what was determined to be a success for them in terms of a number. But it's all the same streaming gobbledygook that we've heard. You know, we have to be all MBAs in training now to be wrestling fans and sports fans. That they want to retain subscribers. They want to give value to existing subscribers. They want to bring a new audience. So I wonder how this is going to work for them. Is this and one thing that really stuck out to me, and I should have thought about it, but I didn't. It sometimes when it's kind of right in your face, you don't really, you're just like, oh yeah, yeah. You finally see the trees for the forest or where that saying is, right? You see both of them. Is that ESPN has a lot of sports entities that they have deals with. A lot. And that's a lot of masters to serve. To you and I listening to this right now, wrestling should be one of those big masters. It's one of their big ones, right? I'm not so sure about that. Is he bigger than the NFL? No. They're still in business with the NBA? No. I don't know if they do NHL. I don't think they do NHL anymore. MLB is done after this year, I think, although that could change. College football? No. College basketball? I mean, there's so many of these different entities that they have deals with. WWE, to get that seat at the table, is going to have to kind of like shoulder their way in. Yeah, ESPN is paying a good amount of money for this, but in the grand scheme of things, is it a lot for Disney? Not really. They don't want to upset some of these other partners. So how is this going to work for them? At what point has WB just become not the apple of their eye? And this is something Mark Shapiro has mentioned about with Netflix is, yeah, of course, the beginning of Star Deal, you're the diamond, you're the shiny new toy. But then as time goes on, he's like 6-7 months down the road, you have to work to still have that be important. And that's going to be a big challenge for a lot of these, is especially in years 2 and 3, when they're kind of in like, this is what it's going to be. That's when you really kind of notice the, what are they, how did this really turn out? because early on it's great and you figure things out. And this thing came together so quick. There's a lot of stuff that they, both sides, still need to figure out. And what you saw last night and the presentation and the marketing and everything like that, all that is going to change a lot over the next, you know, 4 months, 3-4 months. And I'm sure it's going to change a lot by Crown Jewel as well. So yeah, fascinating times there. But that was pretty much everything with WrestlePalooza. In terms of, you know, the action itself, it was WWE. This is what a WWE fan wants. And you had, of course, there was no pre-show matches. So they said, okay, this is all it's going to be is this show. And I can appreciate that. So they open up with Cena versus Lesnar. And these two had not been in the action, been at, I believe it was 2015, I believe, was that. It was kind of this weird irony with him and AJ Lee coming back on the same show. But these two hadn't shared the ring since 2015. And it was a short match, which is probably what it should have been. And, I mean, Brock Lesnar just looking, I mean, he's been eating his Wheaties, you know, up there in the Great White North. I mean, he just looked jacked. And again, red face Brock Lesnar. I still cannot get used to long hair Brock Lesnar. It's just a weird thing. You think this tough Viking guy will be growing out his hair, but away we go. And yeah, this was a very short match. And at the end of it, which was, I don't know how actually long this bout was, but this was just, again, F5 after F5 after F5. And Cena just left devastated. And you had just crushed Lesnar getting the pin. He reunites with Paul Heyman. And you had the crying Cena kids, perfect in the crowd. Tyrese Halliburton for the Indiana Pacers, very forlorn, very sad at ringside. But yeah, this is quite a way to start the experience is the Great American Hero just getting destroyed by Lesnar. And I think part of it is they want Cena to be appreciated on the way out, but they also want to be realistic. Like, it's almost to kind of subliminally tell fans it's time he retires because he can't hang anymore. I think he has, is it 6 appearances left? Maybe 7, but I think it might be 6. And we're on near the end towards his finale in Washington, D.C., of all places, in December. Ugh, disgusting. Not that I hate Washington, D.C., but, I mean, John Cena is a New England guy. He's a West Newbury guy. I drive past the exit to Boston all the time. You're not going to retire at the TD Garden? Come on, man. They put a banner for you up there with the Celtic stuff and the Bruins stuff. Washington, D.C. Gross. Absolutely gross. We had the Usos versus Braun Reed and Bronson Breakker. We talked about that. The Vision once again. Victorious, defeating the reuniting Usos. Very long intro. A lot of lights, a lot of all that. And we talked about the concussion protocol that Jey Uso is in. And then we'll see where LA Knight goes. There's a lot of people speculating LA Knight is going to join the Vision. Again, these factions just keep growing and growing and growing. We talked about Stephanie Vaquer becoming the new WWE Women's World Champion. The title was vacant, defeating Io Sky. So yeah, this was Vaquer's coronation. We kind of been leaning towards this. We knew this was going to be inevitable. And we'll see where this title run goes. People are very in her. Fun finish. And then we had, of course, that CM Punk and AJ Lee versus Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. We're going to talk more about that and also the main event a little bit more in our second hour because I'm coming right up near a break. If you're thinking, I'd like to hear more about All Out, that is going to be an hour two as well. I got a whole bunch of notes on that, a whole bunch of news that happened on that show. But we're going to come back with a little bit more WrestlePalooza, hour two, AEW All Out. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live, coming right back after this.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back again, Wrestling Observer Live, Josh Nason for Sunday, September 21st. Quick segment, hour two, almost all AEW All Out. We'll talk more about that in hour two. Let me wrap up WrestlePalooza real quick so we can move on. Yeah, I thought the mixed tag match between Punk and Lee against Seth Rollins Lynch, it was fun. It was long. Again, it was basically just the heels not wanting AJ Lee to get in the ring, kind of just building up that hot tag. And she got in there, and yeah, she looked fine. Again, it didn't really do much for me, but people are super into this, so good for her. And Punk, she ended up winning the match for her team, getting the Black Widow on Becky Lynch. And after this weird clunky spot on the outside with this, since she got thrown into Punk and Rollins on this one announce table, they crashed through and got back in there and then got the victory. So good for them. And that will lead towards, I would assume, an Intercontinental Women's Intercontinental title match coming at Crown Jewel. And eventually, Punk will have to challenge for that world title as well. He could probably make an appearance during that aforementioned Rhodes and Rollins match somewhere, maybe at the end, to challenge the winner of that. And then, of course, we had Cody Rhodes versus Drew McIntyre. Cody Rhodes leaving with the title. I talked about that. I thought it was it felt flat. It just felt like after watching all that wrestling in a day, it just felt like, okay, we're done. And it just didn't crackle, didn't have it for me. And Cody Rhodes won. And I think they did a disservice by placing it the way they did. I think the big attraction should have been AJ Lee and CM Punk to send everyone up into the night and just for the night, you know, sacrifice your world title, put it at least on that side, put it a little bit earlier in the show and structure a little bit better. So you really just leave the lasting image as kind of one of your big things. I just didn't think the Cody thing did that. Coming right back after this break, a ton of AEW talk. I promise I'll get to that. We have a whole second hour coming up here on Sports Byline, or if you're listening on WrestlingObserver.com, like in 0.3 seconds. Josh Nason, Wrestling Observer Live. Come right back after this.